Sinai. God speaks to them, scares the people to death. They even say, Moses, you go talk to him. Wait a minute, you're afraid to talk to God because you might die, but it's okay to sacrifice Moses. And then what? Through the wilderness, they end up eating, right? God provides food. He takes care of them. The shoes lasted 40 years. Now, some ladies that want to go shopping all the time for shoes, no, you're stuck with the same pairs because they ain't wearing out. That's not Moses doing that. That's God doing that. How about we look at Joshua? So Moses passes off the scene. Joshua comes in. And God had said, Joshua, you're going to lead them in. Joshua, you're going to conquer Canaan land. How? These people are bigger than we are. They're more than we are. How are we going to do that? God working with them. Do you know God dealt with the first, biggest, toughest group that there was? Jericho. Huge walled city. And Joshua, he's just doing things God's way. Okay, sanctify the people. Tell the people, look, you need to get sanctified. You need to get clean. Get your sin right. Get yourself cleaned up physically too. And get ready because we're gonna go take care of business. Oh, yes. Okay, we're ready. We've been training. We're ready for war. No. I do it my way. God working with them. You know the story. They go out and God tells them, why don't you shut up? Don't say anything. Let's just go for a walk. What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to walk around Jericho. Oh, exercise. Great. We've only been walking for 40 years. That's it. Go about your business. Take care of your family. See ya. They did that six days in a row. Seventh day, God says, no, now I want you to go seven times around. God's plan. God working with them. Doing things in a way that really is going to bring honor and glory to God. The seventh day, and they go all the way around that thing seven times. You wonder what the inhabitants of Jericho were thinking? Oh, they're stupid Jews. What are they doing? They're going to get dizzy. Seventh time, all the way around, and then what? God had instructed them, yell to your loudest, blow horns, trumpets, etc. Oh, what's that going to do? We're going to scare them? Just do what I tell you, and I'll take care of the big stuff. And they follow God's instruction, and God knocks the walls out, not in. He knocks them out. Now, go take care of those people. And they wipe out all the Jerichoites, except for one little place, right? You remember that little woman named Rahab? And Rahab had faith in the Lord God. And Rahab was instructed, look, you get all your family and your kin, you get them all in there into your house, and we'll spare them. But if you guys leave, we ain't going to spare you. Followed the instruction. God blessed her faith, protected them. All the city wall around the outside came tumbling down except for that one spot where Rahab's house was. The Lord working with them. There's no other way to explain it, folks. So we find in the Old Testament, again, in the Old Testament, those things were written aforetime for our learning. God working with them. Take care of the instruction that God gave you. Usually it's not complicated. Usually it's not four-syllable words. Go witness to them. Oh, well, it can't be that simple. The instructions are simple. We complicate it when we're not willing to obey. So what were they supposed to do? Follow God's instructions. What are we supposed to do today? I mean, we're supposed to somehow go tell the whole world. Again, it didn't say you go save the whole world. You can't do that. You can't even save yourself. You turn to Christ, He'll save you. So what are we supposed to do? Deliver the news. Go tell them the news. Amazing how we can talk about all kinds of things, but somehow we get around to witnessing to people about the gospel and we get spiritual lockjaw. Go talk to people. It's not complicated. The simplicity that is in Christ. You go do what you're supposed to do. Let God take care of the hard stuff. He'll take care of the big job. Okay? He has to convict and convince and draw people to Himself. God will do that. But He tells us we're supposed to talk to people about the Lord. were in my Father's business, the Lord working with them. There's a part for you to do. We do our part. Trust God, take care of His part. So it's not complicated. It's actually quite simple. The Lord working with them. How are we going to reach the whole world, the Great Commission, worldwide evangelism? How are we going to do that? One person at a time. You do your part. We need to understand what our objective is, but we can't do it all. But we need to be busy doing our part, trying to reach people right here where we are. Try, you know, you travel in different places and in the state. Hey, try and reach some people there. You go on vacation. You don't ever take a vacation on God. Look for an opportunity that you might witness to somebody. You're on a plane. Try and strike up a conversation. Witness to somebody. Hand them a gospel tract. You know, talk to someone. Lord, I've prayed times when I go out soul winning or even just in the day and the Lord will lead me across the path to somebody. Sometimes it's just hand them a track. Maybe I see them again later. Maybe I don't. You know, there's a lot of people get saved just by tracks. When I was in college, my wife and I, when we were in college, I remember a fellow that got saved. Actually, I don't think you were there. That you were out traveling. And there was somebody who just went around, started handing out tracks. And they stuck a gospel tract. They stuck a gospel tract in the windshield of somebody's Volkswagen, right in the windshield. Okay, God's simple plan of salvation, Ford Porter. How to get to heaven? All right, Sean Lundy. He comes out hippie, Roman Catholic family, went to mass, really didn't pay attention, but he's Catholic. He sees that track, rah, 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 throws it in the back seat, gets in his vehicle and drives off. Well, months later, things have fallen all apart in his life. And he's broke. He's looking for money. He starts searching all through his car. He pulls up that seat on that Volkswagen. He's looking for change, maybe some money in there. He finds a gospel tract that he threw in there. It had fallen down behind the seat. Everything falling apart in his life. God working with them. To this day, he doesn't know who put that track in there. He looked at that track, God's simple plan of salvation, how to get to heaven. And he sat down on he's a tall, lanky guy, legs hanging out the car door area there, and he's sitting down on the seat, and he reads the gospel track. He reads it again. He reads it a third time. Well, that's what it says. He gets out of his car and he kneels down. And he acknowledges to the Lord his sin, his wretchedness. And Lord, you died for me. I need you. Lord, my life's a mess. It's all broken. Lord, I need you. He gets up. He looks at that track. Windsor Hills Baptist Church. That Sunday, he gets in his car. He drives over to the church, 9:45 a.m., Sunday school. He goes in, sits in there during Sunday school, main service, hears all that, invitations given. You know, if anybody needs to get saved or you've been saved, haven't yet followed in believers' baptism, etc. He goes forward. He pulls out that track because somebody asked him, what are you doing here? Well, I got this in my window and I read it over several times and I asked the Lord to save me. Now what? Well, you need to get baptized. And explained it quickly to him. He said, okay. Well, can I do that right now? They take him up to the baptistry. He gets changed and everything. He steps out, gets baptized. By the end of summer, he surrenders to preach. He's in Bible college. And by the time he graduates, he's headed to Brazil. Gospel track. How hard is it to put a gospel track? How hard is it to put a gospel track up by somebody's door? How hard is it when you're in the grocery store or at the gas station? Hey, let me give this to you. Let you read that over, okay, to tell you how to get to heaven. That's all you got to do. Stop and ask the Lord. Lord, help me to break the ice. I traveled with evangelists. He used to call it one-liners. I can remember one time leaving a gospel track. We'd gone to a place, and actually it was Dairy Queen, and they had the birthday cakes all out of ice cream. And so I got that for one of our kids. It was their birthday. They get to pick what they want to eat that day. And I pulled out my wallet. I got my money out, paid for the stuff. And I said, here, I want to give that to you. I said, by the way, has your payment been made? And they went, my payment? I said, yeah, for your sins. You don't want to go to hell. Here, take a minute, read that over. I grabbed my stuff and I start. There's a lineup. And I look back and the guy's opened the track and he's reading it. And he's got a line of people. They ain't getting happy. What am I doing? Sowing seed. So I didn't tell him to read right now. After that situation, I say, hey, take that, read that when you're on your break. That's usually what I tell people. Okay? Sometimes you say, I don't know what to say to people. A great thing to say is, hey, if you were to die today based on the Bible, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven based on the Bible? Did you catch that? Now, unless you're a doctor, okay, that's a lousy question to say to your patients. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Man, I just came for a checkup. You don't want to do that if you're a doctor. But you can sow that seed, that thought in somebody's mind, and the Lord's going to deal with it. By the way, I remember a fellow, Don Bickle, he used to try to witness to me. I hated going to that guy's shop. He was a blacksmith. That religious nut. Our family knew him before he got saved. I didn't like him back then. He was too foul-mouthed. And now he's saved, and all he wants to talk about is Jesus and the Bible, and do you know if you're going to heaven? And I would avoid going there. And then this one time, my stepdad stops there. He had some stuff that Don was working on. And I said, no, I ain't going in there. I'm staying out here in the car. So my stepdad got out, went to see, I think it was a rototiller or something that he had Don working on. I reached over, I locked the doors. I don't want that nut coming out here. I rolled up the window all the way up. Okay? I'm laying back, long hair, getting comfortable. And I see Don coming out. Oh, I'm sleeping. Don comes over to my side of the window. He's banging on the window. I'm sitting back thinking, if he hits that any harder, he's going to break it. He starts shaking in the car. I'm like, the guy's a nut. I just lay back there. I'm sleeping. How did he sleep through that? He remembered that later. I got saved later, it was years later. And I remember bringing that up. He goes, yeah, I knew you weren't sleeping. So I wasn't going to let you off easy. You know what it is? Every time I saw Don, I thought, oh, he's going to talk to me about going to heaven. He's going to talk to me about how to stay out of hell. Just the appearance of him would bring that to my mind. Guess what? That's what God does with you. You witness to somebody. You talk to somebody. Every time they see you, God's going to start bringing that back up. Just the thought of you, it'll start. Well, the last thing they talked to me about was how to get to heaven. Man, I don't know how to go to heaven. I know, man, I deserve to go to hell, but I don't want to talk about it. The Lord fashioneth their hearts alike, right? That's what he does with other people. But you got to talk to them first. You do your part, the Lord will do his part. Don Bickle and others, they tried to witness to me. They did their part. By the way, I was 14, went into a Baptist church. My lawyer suggested I get to know the pastor so I could use him as a reference. I thought, you hypocrite, you just want me to use that guy. Now that lawyer knew that the gospel would be preached there. And he preached the message. I don't know what he preached on, but I remember at the end, at the invitation, he quoted 1 John 5:13, how a person can know how to get to heaven. I had long hair. I'd shake my hair down, you know, it's hanging down like this. And I'm looking through, because he said, oh, I see over on this side. Okay, I'll pray for you. Anyone over here on this side? And folks, and I'm thinking, okay, what kind of nuts are raising their hands up? That long hair came in handy, you know, camouflage. And I'm looking over there, and then I hear him say, okay, I see you back here. And well, as I went this way, I put my head up too high. He pointed right at me. I see you. I'm going to pray for you. No. Religious nut. It was a couple days later. It's Pastor Pendle and Larry Arbo. I thought Larry Arbo was the song leader. I remember the service. I mocked all through the service. My cousin Johnny was, Dave was with me. Brother Arbo, he's leading us singing. I'm going, mocking them. And that little building that they had, they had just renovated. And back then, when you put carpet down, a lot of times you'd use those big, fat, screw kind of tacks, carpet tacks. They had those down. I found one. I picked it up. Everybody stood up to sing. I put it down on the seat in front of Dave. When that guy sat down, it was, in the middle of the service. He's trying to pull it out of his hiney. He can't get it out because it's the screw kind. He had to unwind it. Dave, what did you do that for? Say, did you really do that? Yep. That was one of my nice days. Those nuts are here. I see Brother Pennell, Pastor Pennell. I see Brother Larry Arbo. Oh, man, those religious quacks. They're going to talk to us about how to get to heaven. I don't want to talk about that, you know, because I knew I was a sinner. I deserved hell. Wait a minute. If God did that in my heart, then God do that in the heart of others. Years later, I got saved. Graduated from Bible college, and actually it was my senior year, and we took a trip from Oklahoma City up to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's where now Brother Larry Arbo was pastoring. Now, this is years later. Brother Arbo asked if I could come preach over at his church. And so, gladly, yeah, I'd like to go, and he cleared it with Pastor Vineyard, and he brings us over, we're chatting a little bit, and then he says, now we'd like to have Brother Claude Maedl come preach for us. And then he tells a story about how I showed up at church and was goofing off and the tack and everything, and then how he and Brother Pennell did a follow-up, and how, really, I did this. Brother Pennell came and knocked on the living room door, because I had shut it. I thought, that nut's coming in here, I'm going to watch my sports. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, just wanted to thank you for coming to church. I said, rawr, 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 and I pushed myself past him, and I ran upstairs, and I locked the door. Why did I run upstairs? What was I going to do, leap out the window? Why was I treating him that way? He's one of the most gracious men. That's called conviction. That's not Brother Pennell doing that. That's not Larry Arbo doing that. That's the Lord working with them. That's what God wants to do in our lives. Use us. He does a work through you, in you, and then through you, and then He wants to work with you. That's 6 years later, I finally got saved. I'm in Brother Arbo's church now, and Brother Arbo's introducing me and telling me the story about their visit and so forth. And then he shares with him. He says, you know, when Brother Pennell and I were leaving, I turned to Brother Pennell and said, nothing good will ever come out of that visit. And he looked at me and said, I was right. Hey, you don't know what's going to happen. A lot of times, the least likely person that you think will ever get saved, God will start working on them. Fisher of men, right? It took 6 years. But once God sets that hook, He don't quit. You may not even be in the area anymore. God's going to keep working on that person. Because God loves them more than you do. God cares more about the lost than you do. You do your part, God will take care of the big stuff. Now, let me have you look at a couple other passages. And I got a bunch here that I was going to turn to, but that's what happens. You start going off on rabbit trails. But go with me over to 1 Corinthians 3. I want you to see something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice in verse number 5. 1 Corinthians 3. And we'll start reading in verse 5. It starts naming some preachers, some pretty good fellas. It says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Apollos was one of those preachers. He could preach and use words. He was an orator that would just paint pictures. You could just see those majestic mountains and that nice lake with the stream coming down and the trout in there. And he could just paint pictures, the evergreen trees and the snow-capped mountains. Little gentle breeze and the birds, and you know, it's the kind of guy that it's like they could paint pictures with words. I ain't like that. I'm just a bull in a china shop. He says, Paul's kind of dry and boring to listen to, but doctrinally, man, straight, clear, precise, God's power on people's hearts and minds. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers? What's a minister? He's a servant. He's a worker by whom you believed. It's just somebody. Paul's saying, we're just somebody you listened to that brought the gospel. Anybody could have done it. God just used us to bring it to you. And it says, whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Verse 6. Makes it simple. It's not complicated. I have planted. Hey, you ever plant seeds? Was that tough? Did you make it grow? Who made it grow? God. Look, it says, I planted, Apollos watered. You ever watered flowers? You ever watered your garden? Well, that was tough, wasn't it? But who made it grow? God. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? And it continues on. So then neither, I'm sorry, in verse 6 it says, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Oh, that's twice now he said that. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're on the same team. I remember one time door knocking in Barrie, Ontario, right in the area where we lived. And back in behind us, the street behind us, I ended up knocking on a townhouse. Forgot their name. Mike and Wendy McWilliams. And they had three kids at the time. And talked to them and so forth, invited them to church and such. And they ended up coming. I tried to witness to them, but it was pretty rowdy in the house. And Mike wasn't there. And so anyway, yeah, you know, we'll probably come out. Okay, great. Well, that Sunday, I see them out. And I was in charge of evangelism. That was my follow-up. That's my contact. Continue on. It says, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're on the same team, right? I'm in charge of evangelism in our church. Okay, sundry other duties. But I was in charge of evangelism. Pastor Pennell, he and I are there early, and he looks at me, and he says, Brother Madel, what visits are you making tonight? I said, oh, been praying for them, looking forward to it. I'm going to follow up on Mike and Wendy McWilliams. He goes, I am going to go visit them. He can say it that way. Brother Madel, I'm planning on visiting them. I said, but Pastor, that's my contact. Pastoral privilege. You know what that rascal did? He went over there and won them to the Lord. I'm saying, preacher, they're going to get saved. I know. That's my contact. Pastoral privilege. I knocked on their door. I spent hours going out. What do you mean pastoral privilege? I didn't say that, but I sure was thinking it. You know, when I heard that they got saved, I'm like, oh, I knew it. You know, did I get mad? No, we're on the same team. I ain't getting mad. I'm rejoicing. Hey, I'm glad I had a part. I was able to come in there and sow that seed. And they came Sunday morning and got watered. And Pastor Pennell went back and talked to him more thoroughly, but it was God that brought forth the increase. I didn't get mad. Oh, why did you guys get saved? I wanted to see them saved. Okay? I witnessed to my mom for 14 years. Pastor Pennell talked to my mom a couple times. One time she prayed with me just to shut me up and get rid of me. So, you know, this thing of, well, you know, they prayed the prayer. You don't have any faith behind it. You don't have any trust and confidence in Christ. You didn't get saved. You just, la, 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 la. She did that to Pastor Pennell one time. Now my mom's dealing with cancer. God's humbling her. The Lord working with them. She was in coma. Had her on 114 units of, what's that stuff called? Morphine. The nurse on the cancer ward, I called in the hospital. I check on my mom every day. I was way out west. It's like being here in Spokane and you're calling somebody out in Niagara Falls. I call my mom every day. The nurse answered the phone, said, I'm sorry, Claude, you can't talk to her. What? She's comatose. I said, excuse me? And she started kind of, I said, look, just tell me straight. She said, I've been working 35 years on the cancer ward. She said, I don't know of anybody, and the doctors, we've talked about it, we don't know anybody that's ever come out of this. We got prayed. Lord, give her another chance. We called up churches, asked churches to pray for her. I called her up the next day. The nurse answers the phone. I hear, it's like a party going on in my mom's room. At first I thought, well, it must be the wrong number. And I asked for my mom, and the nurse recognized my voice. Oh, hi, Claude. Oh, yeah, no, this is your mom's room. I said, what's going on? It sounds like a party. There's people laughing and carrying on. And she says, I've never seen anything like this. She said, I know what I told you yesterday, but your mom's come out of the coma, and we've dropped her from 114, 115 units of morphine down to 14. She said, I've never seen this before. I said, well, can I talk to her? Sure. She said, I'll shoot everybody out of the room. I get chatting with my mom, and eventually I said, Mom, have you thought about what we've talked about? You know, one day you're going to die. She got real serious. She said, I sure have. I said, Mom, you know what you need to do. You need Christ as your Savior. You know what to do. I've told you enough times. You need to do it. And I think I could have, you know, pressed my mom a little further, but I always like being able to look at somebody eye to eye. Okay? Told her I loved her, hung up, said I'd call her back again. I called Pastor Pennell. I said, Preacher, would you go talk to my mom again? Told him what happened. He said, sure, Brother Madel, I'd be glad to do that. He called me up the next day. It's 3-hour time difference. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. He forgot 3 hours. I was already up. He said, hi, Brother Madel. I said, hello, Preacher. I said, so what's new? Did you get to go see her? He says, yeah, that's why I'm calling. He said, Brother Madel, I really believe your mom got saved. I said, well, what makes you convinced of that? He said, well, I asked your mom. I said, Jeanette, did you really mean business? She sat up and looked at me. She said, if I didn't mean it, I'd have run you off like I did other times. I called her up after that call, and I said, hey, Mom, what's new? And she said, well, something really important. She said, son, I sure wish I'd have done this years ago. She said, but I got saved last night. The Lord working with them. I'm thousands of miles away. The Lord continued working on her. Why? Kept sowing the seed, kept talking to her, kept watering it. 14 years later, the Lord working with them. Look at this. It says there in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Do you remember Matthew 28? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's actually here in Mark. Go preach the gospel. And he says there, lo, I am with you always. He's especially emphasizing his presence and his promise and his power. When we're faithful to go witness, we're faithful to serve him, we're faithful to do our part, and he'll take care of the big stuff. He'll take care of the big stuff. Okay? There's times when apostles went out preaching, the New Testament church went out preaching. There's times that they were imprisoned. The Lord opened the gates and let them out. There they are, back out there in the temple, preaching again. Like, what? How'd they get out? The Lord working with them. The lame man that got saved. And then the Bible says he was walking and leaping and praising God. I mean, can you imagine this guy in the temple just shouting and screaming, getting everybody's attention? And the thing is, they all knew who he was. And then come the Sadducees. You know, they were Sadducees because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They were Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and other elders and so forth. They come and they see this miracle and they hear these guys preaching. How do you rebuke them? Because look at the evidence. And they threatened them. I told you to shut up about him. They said, hey, we're supposed to obey God rather than man. Is that our spirit and attitude? I'm going to obey God. We just need to have that kind of spirit. I'm going to obey God. Hey, didn't Daniel have that kind of spirit? Daniel, Shadrach, Abednego, purposed in his heart not to defile himself. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to please God. Isn't it interesting, out of the thousands that went into captivity, we find mention of only four. The ones that purpose, they're going to live for God. Hey, let God use you. The Lord working with him. Okay? He's going to work with you. You ought to be working with him. Lord, guide us, direct us, help us. And let God work with you. He doesn't expect you to do it by yourself. You can't. You can't. You can't even live the Christian life on your own. And he never expected you to. He wants you to keep trusting him. Keep going to him every day for help. How are we going to evangelize? Independent Baptist Church, responsible to try and reach this city, this state, this country, and the regions beyond you. How are you going to do that? Well, we need to surrender ourselves to the Lord. Ask God to use us. Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to do my part. And Lord, I'm going to trust you to take care of the big stuff. Lord, you're going to provide the finances. Lord, you're going to provide the opportunity for me to open. You know, you pray and pray and pray. Okay, keep praying. Because the Lord said to. And sometimes God will open that door. And sometimes he'll tell you to wait. Or sometimes he'll even say no. You remember one time the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, they were going to, Paul and Silas, they wanted to go further north. And God said, don't go there. The Spirit stopped them from going. And then the Lord clearly directed them over to go to Macedonia. We just need to yield to God. Let God lead us where he wants us to go, when he wants us to get there. Sometimes he'll say, look, get going, come now. And then there's other times it's like, nope, stop, just park it here for a while. Same thing in the Old Testament. That pillar of cloud, that pillar of fire, there were times when it stopped and the people just camped there for a while. And then that cloud would rise up off the tabernacle. Okay, start packing up. Time to go. And they started just following the cloud. Did they know where they go? God didn't tell them ahead of time where they're going. It's just time to follow. Time to follow. Come on, just follow. Doesn't it tell us? Doesn't the scriptures tell us today? Jesus said, follow me. Oh, it hadn't changed. He gives us a task, a job to do. It's the responsibility for every believer. But here's the problem. A lot of times, we think we've got to do the work. We think it's all us. We ought to work like it's all us. But we better trust and pray like it's all him. But it's the Lord working with us. You can't do it by yourself. You may be sincere and earnest and zealous, but you can't do it by yourself. Let God use you. You might think, I didn't do a very good job. Let the Lord take what you did and use it. Well, I'm not much. Yeah, I know. Me neither. But let God work in you. And let God work through you. And then let God work with you. Don't do it by yourself. That's just the flesh. You need God's help. The Lord working with them. Good for the apostles? Good for the New Testament church? Is it good for us today? It's his work. But he wants you to work with him, not go off by yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you desire to love us and save us. And Lord, then you want to work in us and through us. And then, Lord, you want to work together with us. Lord, thank you for the privilege that we could work with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, we pray that you'd use us. Help us to be your servants. Help us, Lord, just the desire to do what pleases you. Lord, even if it's not comfortable for us, help us to resolve and determine that we're going to be your servants. And Lord, do the bidding that you want us to do and when you want us to do it. Lord, help us truly to be yielded to you. And Lord, that we would look to you and expect you to do that which we cannot do. Lord, you're able to open up the gates of prisons. You're able to defeat the mightiest empires in the world. Lord, you're able to overthrow governments. Lord, you can raise up sick people and lame folks and the dead. Lord, you have all power. You created everything. Lord, help us not to trust in our feeble efforts, but Lord, to look unto you. And Lord, that you would use us just like you said in the scriptures. Lord, that you do a work in us. And God, you work through us. And then, Lord, you allow us to work together with you. God, help us. Lord, use us that we might be fruitful But Lord, help us even more so just to be faithful. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. If you'll stop and think of it, child of God, what a privilege that the Lord wants to work with us. Let Him work. Let Him do His work in you, through you, and with you. Would you let Him do that? Little as much when God is in it. The Lord working with them. When you're talking to your family, when you're witnessing to neighbors or folks at work, striving to be a good testimony, just walking with the Lord, just trying to serve Him. And especially with the matter of witnessing. Let Him do His work. You do what you ought to do. He told us to go witness. Talk to people. Come back and water it. But let Him bring forth the increase. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and the piano begins to play. We'll just take a moment here for an invitation. It's not just the God of the Bible that we read of. It's the God of today. He changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. He wanted to work with the New Testament church. Oh, and how glad they were and yielded they were. There's usually the problem. We're not relying on Him as much as we should to make us what we ought to be and to allow us to work with Him. And too often we want to do it all in our own strength and power. All we need to do is focus on, Lord, I just want to please You. Lord, I want to work with You. Not go out and do my own thing. I want to work with You. I want to walk with You. The Lord working with them. Let Him use you. And let Him work through this church. And He'll bring forth the increase. Sometimes you never see it. Sometimes it may take 14 years. Sometimes it might take a week, a month. The Lord working with them.